The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to
you. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to them, 'Him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. The Gospel of the Lord. Good news. For the second week in a row, we're given a pretty tough parable. Jesus compares God to a king, the kingdom of God, really, to a king who destroys a city and throws somebody into darkness. Yikes, right? Let me say a couple of things clearly. First, in case you wondered, this parable isn't about heaven and hell and how to get into either one, okay? Make that clear. But more importantly, the punchline of this parable, "many are called, few are chosen," is not for those who are worried about whether they're chosen. It's for those who are stuck on being right, who spend a lot of time pointing out what's wrong with others, who can't understand why others aren't as moral or religious or about social justice as they are, like the Pharisees and the chief priests in the reading. I think the most disturbing part of the parable for us is the stranger thrown into the darkness, right? We don't quite get that a king would throw somebody out for not wearing the right clothes. I mean, what if he didn't know? What if he was poor and couldn't afford something? What we don't automatically know, because this was written 2,000 years ago in a different culture, is that the custom of the day was to have a supply of lovely wedding garments at the door to give guests, especially those who couldn't afford a wedding garment. Just as we automatically know, without it being written down on a wedding invitation that we receive, is that when you get invited to a wedding, you don't wear yoga pants or shorts. It would be rude, inappropriate. So the man was handed a wedding garment, refused, and either snuck or barged in. We don't really know. It's not really about the man. Not only did he make light of the wedding, he made light of the wedding giver. The king graciously invited him to a feast, gave him a tenderly prepared wedding garment. Maybe the man didn't like to be told what to do. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. So the king says, well, if he doesn't want to be here, if he doesn't want a party, then throw him out of the party. My son's wedding is a day to celebrate. We can't have anybody here who's not celebrating. So in the end, this parable is not having about the right clothes. It's about having the right trust. Trusting that it really is a wedding, trusting the king, not trusting the self. And the parable, I think, reveals how similar we are to those in the parable at the different points, those who make light of God. The first guests who wouldn't come. Who cares about God? I have a life to live. I can't fit worship into my life or prayer. Places to go, people to see. Or we're like the guest who wouldn't trust the wedding giver. This can't be a real wedding or real Christianity. People who I know are sinners are here. Or we'll take God, but only on our own terms. We're not going to be told what to do. So does the parable, is the punchline of the parable about trying to change, trying hard to take God seriously? But let me ask you, as I usually do when these kind of parables come up, how many of us have tried to take God more seriously, tried our hardest to be a good Christian, a faithful believer, a disciplined prayer? And how long did it last? And if you're like most of us, not long, and then you try again, and not long, and then you try again. On the other hand, some Christians who strive so hard become very much like the chief priests and Pharisees, end up being stuck on being right, judging others, instead of looking at the self. And that's who the punchline is for. Many are called, few are chosen. To pull the rug out from under their feet. Oh, and the gnashing of teeth into the outer darkness. Ancient Jewish manner, custom of exaggeration to make the point. To really pull the rug out. Listen up. See, this is for all legalists everywhere, including the little legalist inside of me and perhaps you. It tells us you're not in control. You're not the final judge. You're not the king or queen. You're not the creator. God is. And in the end, God is not about rules or justice, because nobody could survive that. All were welcomed in, good and bad. God is about mercy. The purpose of the parable is not to set an example for us, but rather to help us see ourselves, the truth about ourselves, our inner workings, to be a mirror, so we can stop the merry-go-round momentarily and really see ourselves. Being sinful means that we don't get it right for very long. We're easily distracted, fall quickly into trusting ourselves and judging other people and being right, and not trusting the wedding giver. By my own understanding or effort, Luther wrote in the Small Catechism, I cannot believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. We just can't. The purpose of a parable is to drive us into the arms of God's mercy, to get to the I can't, Lord, you can. Because we can't, God came and did for us. The one who tells the story about outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, himself chooses the outer darkness for the sake of those who don't trust, who trust in themselves, who are stuck on being right, who are worried about whether they're chosen. We have been invited to the wedding of the Son. We celebrate that every Sunday. God went out and got us from the highways and byways of life, gave us a baptismal garment, sits us down at the table each week to feast on forgiveness. The baptismal garment is not for God, it's for us as we live out our lives, so that we might know and trust the wedding giver, the creator. We might know, trust that we're chosen and live our life that way. Just as God aches to have every single human being trust that even though they're a sinner, God chooses them. Even more than that, you're to know that when you go out into the highways and byways of life, that you will continue to not get it right. And that this wedding feast of the Son, the wedding feast of forgiveness, awaits for you weekly. God doesn't want you or me walking around this world burdened by shame or guilt or a sense of failure. And he doesn't want you walking around thinking that you and your schedule, on the other hand, are more important than God and your neighbor. The creator of the universe invites you and has clothed you, the one without whom all existence would become nothing if he didn't breathe the breath of life into it every millisecond. The creator of you and all that you have invites you to the feast. At this table, you are once again forgiven and receive all the benefits that come from trusting that God has chosen you. A shelter from the storm, shade from the heat, comforted spirit, a light heart. So come to the feast. Join in the celebration at your Savior's invitation. Come, dressed no more in spirit somber, but clothed instead in joy and wonder. Come, for all is now ready. Amen.